He has delivered us. Look at this. What would happen to a Christian that believes they're in bondage, that's living by feelings? That's where some of these ministries have to be very careful, because you're teaching people without realizing it, inadvertently. You're just teaching them they're only as good as their feeling. So until they feel better, they aren't better. No, until they believe better, they'll never be better. Because you can minister to their feelings and they can get a sense of peace, but they can leave, and if their belief system hasn't changed, that peace will get encroached on and they'll be back in the same position. And they'll just need you again to minister peace. And next thing you know, they just think you're the prayer warrior and you need to pray them through. And now they're dependent on you and you're codependent on them because they keep you feeling like, yeah, you're important. It gets weird. What would happen to a Christian if they walk in their bedroom with nobody looking? Wake up in the morning and feel like, oh no, I remember what this felt like a month ago. It was the most horrible day. I can't believe that. Oh, I don't want to go through another day. I need to call so-and-so and get prayed for. I wonder if you just wake up in the middle of that and lift your hands with nobody in the room but you and Jesus and maybe the devil. He is not a threat to you. Unbelief is a threat to you, not the devil. Are you hearing me? Unbelief is a threat to you, not the devil. He only gives, he only works with what you give him. Why do you care if he's standing in the room? If you're filled with Jesus and your eyes are fixed on truth, he won't be able to stand there very long. And if he does, I wouldn't know why. Why do you even care? He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. You lift your hands in that morning and everything about your body and your feelings and your emotions are telling you you're going to have a tough day. And you lift your hands and you say, Father, I thank you. You have delivered me from the power of darkness, translated me into the kingdom of the Son of your love. And your love in my life is unstoppable. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I welcome you. Thank you for empowering me and fueling me. And next thing you know, you're in the bathroom and you're breading up and you're showered. And now you're singing a song, Holy to the Lamb. And you don't even remember how you felt when you woke up. But if you're not careful, you think you need deliverance when you might just need truth. He has delivered you. You keep flashbacking into the past. You just keep flashbacking into the past. And you just remember when they touched you wrong. And you just remember when that thing happened. And you wake up in the middle of the night and that dream just got you one more time. And all of a sudden we think it's in us and we think it's us. And then we lay claim to it. And we're always asking for prayer for freedom and deliverance. Because you think as long as you have the dream, you're in bondage. As long as you believe the dream, you're in bondage. I wonder if the dream would come and spur you to truth. You wouldn't even mind the dream. I wonder if you let the gospel teach you to wake up out of the dream and commune with God and have an encounter with God. I bet if the dream's from hell and the devil, it'll stop real quick because you've submitted and it'll flee. I bet you don't even have a problem. I bet you have an answer. I bet it's not about the dream going away. It's about you believing right in the midst of it. And you wake up and you're tempted to feel regretful. You're tempted to feel defiled. You're tempted to feel the fear of that moment. And people want to try to take you and do all this stuff. No, no, no. You sit up in your bed. Father, I just thank you. You've transformed my life. I thank you. You've made all things new. I'm not a little girl anymore. I'm not an 8-year-old boy anymore. I am a man of God and you live inside of me. And I thank you. You touched me right and overwhelmed everything that was ever done wrong. God, you made me a new creation and I am not afraid and I am living in you and ain't nothing changing my mind. I got nothing to make up for and nobody has to say a thing to make things right. You made it right. You live in me and I in you and I'm excited to be alive. Yeah? People say, well, pray for me. The devil keeps waking me up in the middle of the night. You ought to sit up in your bed if you believe that and say, Father, I'm so glad you woke me. Father, I'm so glad you woke me. There must be something on your heart. Put it in my heart because I love not my own life unto death. And I'll intercede. I'll pray to the four corners of the earth. And I'll pray as long as you want. Because if I pray all night, your grace will keep me all day. I'm in this thing for you. I've laid down my... And the little devil that woke you up is going, ah! I woke you up, you idiot! It wasn't God! I mean, we sell so cheap sometimes. Well, I just get woke up in the middle of the night, and I know it's the devil, and he just keeps waking me up. So you think until you can sleep through the night, no, 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 until you believe different. If the devil is waking you up and you respond like that and you validly intercede and pray from your heart and God empowers you with grace and you have a great day because you didn't complain, I wonder if he'll wake you up again. He might, because he's a slow learner. But I'll bet he won't do it three times. Yeah. Ain't that something? So I don't think you're a person with a problem. I think you're a person with an answer. I think it's truth that makes you free. You have been delivered from the power of darkness, conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption brought back to original value through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I say it all the time. I think you'll get it because I've preached so much already. If you don't start where He finished, you'll never run well. You start where He finished. Your starting line is where He finished. Forgiveness of sins, redemption, accepted, qualified, blood speaking better things. You're His. You're not your own, and you're not anybody else's. You're His. I wanted to read so much of Colossians. I actually was in the delusion of reading chapters 1 and 2. That's a delusion. I don't even know what I was thinking. But whatever we did, we did. And I just hope you got something. But you might want to take and keep on reading down through when you get a chance. You might even just want to sit with a couple folks and just keep on reading where we stopped and read on down through and find out that, wow, my mind was what made me an enemy the way I thought. And I thought for myself, not His kingdom. Even though I was doing that, He reconciled me through the body of His death and presented me holy, blameless, and above reproach. Just drives religious spirits crazy, those scriptures. But they're there. I don't know how we can avoid them. He presented you holy, blameless, and above reproach. If indeed you continue believing and aren't moved away from the hope in which you heard. So religion says, let's just not preach that hope. Some people have never heard that hope. Some people have never heard they stand holy and blameless and above reproach through the blood. But the Bible says it. It says that if indeed you continue believing and don't let anything change your mind. The Bible says don't let anything in the next chapter hold you captive. As you've received Him, so walk in Him. Rooted and established and built up in the faith. Don't let anyone take you captive, hold you, plunder, or cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit or the traditions of men or the basic philosophies or principles of life. For you are and not according to Christ, for you are complete in Him, and He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, right? And you are complete in Him who's the head.
Yes.
Who are you complete in? You got nothing to prove. You got the joy of becoming. You're not even running the risk of failing. You have the joy of becoming. So go after Him and let what He accomplished mold you and shape you and fashion your heart and stay in this race and don't ever grow weary in well-doing. Self-centeredness and self-focus gives itself away. I'm going to stretch you right now. You could never be discouraged if you weren't thinking for yourself. You could never be disheartened if it wasn't about you, ultimately.
Wow.
What it's costing you, what it's putting you through. There's no way you could ever be discouraged if you were seeking first the kingdom of God, because He sees everything at once and He's the God of all hope. That's a good stretch. I feel that. You'd never just be frustrated if it wasn't about you. There'd be no need to be right in your life if it wasn't about you. No animosity in your marriage if it wasn't about you. Even when they're wrong, you'd love them like they're right. And in your heart, you'd have this message saying, Father, forgive them. They just aren't seeing who they are right now. But I have a real good view from your cross and your throne. And I'm not going to let what they don't see decide what I do see. And I won't let where they're not decide where I am. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I decided 22 years ago, I wasn't going to let one person decide who I am unless their name was Jesus. So that's what's wrong with me. So join in with me and let's run this race worthy of a prize. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.